just for a minute, let me welcome all those who are tuning in online. We are so thankful for you. Whether you're in the room or in your living room or you're watching maybe 3 or 4 days later on YouTube. How many of you guys know people find church through YouTube, amen? Like they get on there. We've had multiple people find us on YouTube and social media, so we're so grateful for that. And so I'm excited for this morning. If you missed last week, you missed a good one, as we talked about really what it looks like to have a relationship with God that's designed. I think sometimes in life we feel like our relationship with God is random, like we randomly have these encounters with Him, or we randomly just try to figure it out. But how many of you guys know that God didn't just design the journeyer, He also designed the journey? Meaning this, that He designed you to experience Him in the most fulfilling way. There's a way, there's a design, there's a plan. And we've been talking from this idea, and we're going to do two more after this week. And the theme verse that I have for us, and we're going to look at this every single week, and they're going to put it up on the screen for you. And it comes where Paul's actually talking about this. He says, God has now revealed to us His mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill His own good plan. Come on, somebody say, good plan. Hey, if you're in the chat, text good plan, right? The idea is this, is that God actually has a plan for you to prosper. God actually has a design for how you are supposed to interact with Him. Just to kind of give you a brief story on really what this looks like, Natalie and I, for our fifth year anniversary, we took a trip to Italy. I had a bunch of air miles from the job I worked, and I had a bunch of hotel points, so we actually got to go really cheap. And so being 5 years into marriage, our bank account didn't reflect us being able to take a trip to Italy, trust me. It was just a bunch of free miles. And so we head to Italy, and you know, we want to make the most of a trip on a budget. So we're trying to skimp and to save and to cut, and like, you know, we're taking the continental breakfast and turning it into a continental breakfast and lunch. I mean, we're doing everything we can to try to make it possible. But we want to get the most out of taking this, for us, a once-in-a-lifetime trip. Well, we're in Rome, and one day we're like, well, we want to go see the Vatican while we're here. Now, we didn't have a lot of money, but one of the locals told us, listen, if you're going to go to the Vatican, you need to pay for the tour. And we're like, really? That's a lot of money? Like, I can just walk around and look at things? Like, that's free. But they were like, no, you need the tour, because you get so much more out of it when you have a guide. Come on, somebody. You see where I'm going with this? And so we paid the extra money, and it was so amazing. Because we walked into every room, and I didn't know what in the world this stuff was, and I didn't know what carving this was or what painting this was or where that was from. But the guide told us the story behind it. Can I tell you that there's a guide to your life, and it's the Word of God. And if we'll just follow that, there's actually a design behind it in how you and I are supposed to get the most out of what God has for us. And so last week we talked about this idea of encountering God in a relational way. You know, some of us, we haven't encountered God in years. And some of us, we only learn about God, but really God wants to have an encounter with you so that you can engage with His presence, right? God's more than just a Wikipedia page, right, where you can just learn about Him. God wants you to experience Him. Well, the second design that God has for you and I is that we are to be established. Come on, somebody say established. Established. You see, God had it for you to encounter Him in a relational way, but also God wants you to be established in His house. And I've got two verses for us that I want us to look at, and then we're going to pray. Sound good? So I want us to look at a couple of verses here that explains that. And this is Psalms 92. And I'm going to read this really quick. And it says this, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted, come on, somebody say, planted. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Come on, somebody who feels like they're a little old, but they're still going to bear fruit, right? Like, I'm not done bearing fruit, right? Like, I'm still living in my prime. I'm going to talk about that later. And they will stay fresh and green. Come on, it's August in Texas, and I doubt many of your yards look fresh and green unless you're watering it really good. Other than that, it's burnt and dry. Come on, I don't want to be a burnt and dry Christian. I want to be fresh and green. Come on, you met some burnt and dry Christians. You're like, man, I don't want to go to that church again. proclaiming. So, right, this is what planted people do. They proclaim, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Jeremiah prophesied about this. He says, they, meaning you and I, will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. Come on, 2020 didn't worry people who are planted, right? Coronavirus doesn't worry people who are planted. Troubles, politics, wars does not worry people who are planted in God's house, right? Listen, it may mess up CNN and it may mess up Fox, but it does not mess up the believer. Why? Because our roots are in a stream of living water that goes beyond any temporary situation. And I love this. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Well, I want to preach on being established in God's house this morning. Let's pray. God, I pray that your voice would be the loudest, Father, that you would speak to all of us, Father. The mission of our house, and I believe the mission, God, of you is to really help us just take a step closer to Jesus. God, if we can just take a step closer to Jesus, we look more and more like him. So, Father, I pray you help us do that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. You know, I think it's interesting that the psalmist says planted, not potted. How many of you guys have potted plants in your house? You got little cute potted plants. Natalie the other day, she's planting some potted plants in our back and front porches. And one of the things she said is, I need to take the plant out and I need to put it in a bigger pot. And I said, why you got to do that? That's more money. We already bought that pot. Why don't we got to buy another pot? You don't need two pots, one plant. That doesn't make no sense. But she prevailed, and she said something to me. She said, well, if you don't get a bigger pot, the plant won't grow any bigger. It stays there. Come on. I'm about to go somewhere with this. And I wonder how many believers or individuals we live not planted, we live potted, right? We live all to ourselves. We don't want to put any roots down. You see, a potted plant can be moved around, right? I can move it wherever I want to go. It's a little more difficult to move a planted plant, right? Like, man, I gotta dig the roots up. I gotta find where, man, this is a whole lot harder than I can just go. And I wonder how many believers we live potted rather than planted. You know, the thing is about a potted plant is it always produces less fruit than a planted plant. Not only that, it never realizes its full potential, because actually potted plants, what they do with their roots is they extend out, and as soon as they hit a wall, they go, okay, I'm done growing right there. I can't grow anymore because that's the wall to my life. I wonder what walls are in your life keeping you from being planted. Maybe it's a mindset that you've had that, well, this is how life is always going to be, and maybe it's a lack of faith. You can't believe beyond. I wonder, maybe it's comfortable. It's nice in the pot, right? If I get planted, then that's a little bit more difficult. If I'm in a pot, somebody always waters me. I don't have to get my own water, right? Someone always takes care of me, right? The temperature's always good in a potted plant. I'm always in the shade of a porch in a potted plant. If I'm in the ground, then there's wind, there's difficulty, there's the sun beating down, there's trials, right? And now I kind of have to fend for myself. And so what ends up happening, and this happens a lot, right? Potted plants, they just want to change pots. So they just go from this church to that church, this church, that church, this church. I'm going to mess with you a little bit now, right? And so when they don't like the pot that they're in anymore, they just change pots rather than being planted in God's house. And you know, you've seen potted plants. They've been a potted plant for 40 years, still the same size. Still dealing with the same spiritual maturity problems. Still dealing with the same issues. And you're going, man, if you would get planted somewhere, you would actually grow up. You could actually put some roots down. You could actually start producing a little bit of fruit. You could actually start seeing some flourishing in your life. You know, if you would get planted And I think what happens is people, a lot of times, they look for the ideal pot. How many of you guys do this? You look for the ideal pot. Where's the best pot for me and my needs and like what I want, rather than going, you know, I'm going to be planted, and by planting, I'm actually going to change the dynamic of the soil. You know you can do that, right? You know there's plants that actually can take bad soil and turn it into good soil because they're planted there. You see, the design of God is more than just encountering Him. It's about being established in God's house. You see, there's good things that come when people are established in God's house. You see, God's design for you was to be planted, not just potted. Not just potted. I don't know about you, but I want to see all that God has for me. I want to produce the most amount of fruit I can possibly produce. I don't want to live 80, 70, 90, however many years I live and go, this is all I did? I was a house plant? I was in a pot? Rather than really seeing the roots that God, a potential, begin to grow in my life, I want the story of my life to go, yeah, he started as a little seed, but God was able to establish and grow him and cause him to flourish, and he grew strong and tall. And I want the stories of my life to be able to go like, I knew him when he was a seed. I knew him when he was a sapling. And now God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, has established him in God's house. They've grown him. You see, I think there's three characteristics to planted people. I want to give you the benefits of being planted. The number one is this, that planted individuals are durable. Come on, they're durable. The other day, the same potted plants, Natalie picked one up and just moved it a little bit, and the pot cracked. Well, then the pot cracked, and so what ended up happening is probably within 3 days, the plant that was in that was withered. Because everything, all the moisture had fallen out, it had messed up. But you know, when you're planted, you can actually kind of search for nutrients. You can stretch out your roots and begin to go, hey, you know what, I'm not just going to wait to be fed, I'm going to feed myself. That's another message. Have you ever seen palm trees in a hurricane? Isn't that crazy? It looks like they're having the best time. Like, honestly, like, you ever seen a palm tree? They're just like, right? Like, it's just like they're having a blast. Everything else around was freaking out, moving, running, like going crazy, flooding. Palm trees are like, this is amazing, right? Like, like whichever way the wind's blowing, you know, they're just good. I wonder if that's what believers are for their community. Come on, right? Like all kinds of trouble happening. Everybody's like freaking out, like, the wind is blowing. Like, what's going on? And believers are like, whoo, this is good, right? Why? Because their roots are established. You know, the funny thing about palm trees is palm trees actually grow wider rather than deeper. And the reason they do that is because a wide root system allows them to be able to withstand the storms that they encounter. You see, when you're planted in God's house, you become more durable, right? The storms of life, hey, they're coming at you, and are they difficult? Yeah. Do the winds blow hard? Does the rain blow hard? Does it flood a little bit at times? Yes, it does. But can I tell you, that's why the word says, I take joy in trials, right? Because a planted person knows that no matter what storms come my way, I'm planted in God's house, and I can find the joy in the middle of a problem. I wonder if the problem you're facing right now is causing you all kinds of pain, and where God's saying, hey, just put your roots in deep and have a little fun because I'm going to take you through it. Now, what fun can come from this? I don't know. Ask a palm tree. The second thing is this, is that planted people grow. They grow. You ever notice this about some people? They're always becoming a better person. Right? Like, every time you meet them, they're always trying to grow. They're always trying to do more. They're always trying to learn. Come on, how many of you guys have learners in your life? They're going, man, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I'm not satisfied just with the level I've reached, but I want God to grow me even more. I want to learn more. I want to read more. I want to do more. I want to experience more. I'm not just happy with this little, like, I don't want to just be 2 feet tall in the spirit. Like, I want to be 6 feet tall. I want to be 12 feet tall. I want to keep growing and expanding, right? How many of you guys know that God God has more for you. It's not just about just living in a pot. It's about being planted in his house so that he can establish you. You know, the thing about all four of my kids is when we had kids and you take them to the doctor, they always give you a range of how tall they'll be. You know what I mean? You ever remember this? They'll say, well, they're probably going to be anywhere between 5'5" and 5'7". Right? You know what I'm talking about? Or they're in the 90th percentile of height, or they're in the 10th percentile of height, or they have a big head or a small head, or they're overweight or underweight, right? They all tell you all the measurements, right? Who told you that you could only be 5 foot tall? Who told you that you could only be this tall in the spirit? As if that's the limitations that you've been believing, right? So as a doctor would go, Eric will only be 6'2", right? Well, that's what I am right now. Come on, can I tell you that God doesn't have a cap for you? God doesn't have a limitation for you? God doesn't say, well, you know what? They're lucky just to be in here. They better be happy with 3 foot tall because that's the range I have for them. But can I tell you that God will cause you to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow even more? The spiritual maturity level that you're currently at, can I tell you there's more for you? There's more for you. But can I tell you, what do you got to do? Right? You got to move out of the pot and be planted in God's house. The third characteristic is they're fruitful. Come on, somebody say fruitful. I don't know about you, but I want a fruitful church, right? I want a multiplying church. I want a church that doesn't just live by addition, but lives by compound interest. Come on, right? Like, we're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to see God produce fruit. I want this for your life. So fruitful, it says this, they will still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green. I'm a sports fan, and I'm a big soccer fan. So actually today at 2 p.m., if you'll pray, Manchester United plays Sevilla. It's a semifinal. I need a miracle. I'm kidding, right? But I'm a big sports fan. And in sports, here's what they talk about a lot. They'll talk about three stages of an athlete. He's coming into his prime. She is in her prime. Or he is past his prime. You ever heard talk like that? And so the expectations on certain athletes change depending on whether commentators or analysts feel like he or she is in their prime. So for example, a young athlete, well, he's not quite in his prime. An athlete that's right in that range, you know, 27 to 32, they're kind of like, all right, she's in her prime. And I wonder how many of us, we feel like our prime is in our past. My best days were actually behind me. My best days were when we had little kids in the house, or my best days were right when kids went to college, or my best days was my college years. Can I tell you that people who are planted, they got a long prime. Come on. The prime isn't just a short window. The prime cannot just last a few years, but come on, people who are planted in God's house, their prime will last decades. Come on, their life would be their prime. Come on, it's not like, oh, they're past their prime or they're not quite into their prime. Come on, I want our dream teamers. I want our new Christians. I want our connect group leaders. I want them to go, hey, I'm living in my prime right now. Why? Because I'm planted in the house of the Lord. And no matter what storm, no matter what trial, no matter what difficulty, no matter whether it rains, or it doesn't rain, I can still produce fruit. Whether it's 2010, whether it's 2000 and Y2K, whether it's 2020 and Corona, whether it's November and I don't know whether it's Trump or Biden, I'm still going to produce fruit, right? Because I'm going to be in my prime. You see, planted people are durable. They're growing people. They're fruitful people. And can I tell you that a church full of people who are established in God's house, can I tell you that God can do something special with them? I don't know about you. How many of you guys, you ever driven by a nursery and they've got all the potted trees and plants? How many of you guys take picnics in nurseries? Baby, let's go to the nursery and let's lay a blanket out and we'll have a good picnic. Nobody takes a picnic in a nursery. Where do you go? You go to the park. Why? Because there's trees that have been planted. Can I tell you? People who need the hope of Jesus, they're not going to come to a nursery. They're going to come to a garden. And our church should be a garden full of people who are planted in the house of God. You see, if we're just temporary people moving in and out, waiting to go to our next customer, can I tell you, nobody takes a picnic in a nursery. You do it in a park. What does that mean? We need people who are planted. We need people who are bearing fruit. We need people who are giving off shade. We need people that are saying, you know what, we're going to be a place where people can find healing. We're going to be a place where people can find hope. We're going to be a planted house producing fruit, showing people that you can put roots down in the house of God and flourish. You know what? I know this. It's a simple truth, and I want this for your life, that if I put in deep roots, I'll produce good fruit. Let me say that again. This ought to be the rest of your year right here. If I'll put down deep roots, I will produce good fruit. Good fruit. So I want to talk really practical. I'm going to get real practical for the rest of the time. Because sometimes, you know, preachers, they can vamp you up and get you saying amen. And you're going, but what do I do? So I'm going to help you today. I'm going to help you really practical. And I'm going to talk to you about how do you begin to put down roots and move from being potted to being planted. Come on, somebody say amen with me, right? Come on, right? I want to be planted. If you're online, hey, keep locking in right now. We're gonna talk about three really simple ways. I got three thoughts for you. I'm gonna list the three thoughts really quick right now, and I'm gonna explain them. I think it has to do with your heart, your hugs, and your hands. Your heart, your hugs, and your hands. Now, it might be air hugs right now, but it'll be all right. And your hands might be sanitized, but it's your heart, your hugs, and your hands. So let's talk about number one, heart. Bible says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've been around church my whole life, so I'm going to get really practical with you. And I find that the biggest hurdle for people putting roots down into church is that they don't give. They don't give. Now, I'm not talking about tithing. I'm talking about they don't give anything. They give no financial investment to the church. Because they have this ideology that the church wants my money and they're going to misuse my money. And you know what? My money's for me. The church can figure it out. But you know, if you study scripture, actually God in the Bible talk about your money more than almost anything else. In fact, money challenges are talked about 800 times in the Bible. That's a lot of times, right? Can I tell you that money's talked about more than lust? Money's talked about more than sexual sin? Money's talked about more than some of the things that you would look at and go, oh, these are big issues. God talks about money a lot. Why? Because he says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you see, everybody thinks like, okay, if I give, then the point is that the church gets it. But can I tell you that giving has more to do with you than it does that of the church? Talk to generous people. Talk to people who've been faithful in their giving. They'll tell you. It's so much better when I give. And here's the deal. I find people all the time, no matter what their income level is, I've watched people who don't give anything to the church. And what they'll do, they'll start out an entry-level position, and they'll grow, they'll get raises, they'll get promotions, they'll do all this type of stuff. And typically, they should be doing better in life, but they're dealing with the same stresses. They're mismanaging their money in the same way. They're dealing with the same amount of stress and worry. And that's because they're not planted. They're potted. So when you live potted, guess what? The only thing you got is what you got. Like, this is the only soil that you can tap into because you remain potted. Now, if I'm planted, that means I can put my roots out further. You see, for many believers, I think that this is a wall in the pot that they bump into. The funny thing is, there was a Barna study done. And it showed that on average, the total amount of tithers in a church is about 15%. 15% of people tithe. So I want to just stop right there and go, wow, look what the church is doing with 15% of the people being generous. Praise God. Like, that's incredible, right? And Victory City Church, we have not had one red month or a negative month during this whole corona because of the faithfulness of those people. Isn't that incredible? And let's just talk about the young generation. I'm a millennial. Can I tell you that millennials, I know, I forget, you know, I'm good. Luis said he forgives me. He's sorry. But let's just talk to millennials just for a second. Can I tell you that we make up the smallest giving category out of the church? We want the church to become more attractive to millennials, but can I tell you that the people giving the most are actually baby boomers? Yeah, praise God. You see, when you begin to give, guess what that does? It puts roots down. Let me illustrate it for you really quick. Let me help you. How many of you guys have ever washed a rent car? How many of you have ever washed a rent car? I've never rented a car and washed it. Why? Because it's not mine. My heart's not in it. Now you start paying for that car. You start making payments on that truck. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to wax it. You're going to vacuum it. You're going to make sure it's nice. You're going to put the good oil in it. Why? Because it's yours. Same thing goes with the house of God. When we begin to put roots down in it, can I tell you, that's when your heart begins to grow for it. That's when you care for the mission of it. Hey, are we reaching new people? Hey, are we seeing more people join a dream team? Hey, are we seeing connect groups, right? Because as long as you remain in the pot, you're not going to care about what happens to everybody else. But the minute you become a part of the garden, hey, are we growing? Hey, are we flourishing? Are we seeing God's house being established? Hey, are we reaching more people? Hey, are we seeing people grow up in the kingdom of God? How are we doing with our kids? How are we doing with our youth? Are we seeing God? Why? Because your heart is invested in it. So my challenge for you is this. What would it look like if you begin to prioritize generosity? As you begin to go, you know what, God, if I can trust you with my life, I can trust you with my money. And I think this, I have this thought for you really quick, is that flourishing follows faithful. It's not the other way around. We want to flourish before we are faithful, but God actually says if you'll be faithful first, then you will flourish. So here's really practical. Maybe you're somebody, and I think there's three categories. I think there's four categories. I'm going to explain this in November as we do our over and above. We've got some exciting things coming. But I think there's four hitters. Category number one is no giver at all. They don't give at all. They come, and that's fine. In fact, people who are visiting, if you're visiting or you're fairly new to the church, you don't feel obligated whatsoever. But there's got to be a moment where you go from nothing to something. Right? And this is the second category. This is somebody who's giving something, but they're not necessarily regular or they're not necessarily tithing. And that's okay. Maybe you're somebody who's going, man, I just moved, and that was a big step for me to go from nothing to something. And then there's people I call who are just faithful. They're tithers. They're going to give, hey, this is my 10%. I'm faithful to the kingdom of God. I want to continue to give. And so there's three steps, right? You've got nothing, something, tithing. And then you have the fourth step, which is over and above. These are people who give over and above. Can I tell you that this church is here because people gave over and above? Come on. Now, I need you to understand that. This church is here not because people tithed. See, tithing makes it possible to continue to function. This church, the chairs you're sitting in, the literal chairs you're sitting in, are there because people gave over and above. Now, I want to just draw this conclusion. If the church is doing what it can do on 10 to 15% of people tithing, what could we do on 25%? Well, seriously, what could we do on 25%? What could we do on 40%? Like I know this is a crazy thing, but what if 100% of the church followed God's plan? What would that look like? What would that look like? Could we plant churches in other countries? Could we open up other campuses? Could we start leading initiatives? Could we start doing outreaches? Could there be no person that goes hungry in our city? Could we start doing things for the kingdom of God if we just had 25%? Can you look and do you see the power in God's design? People who are planted, right? It's not about a greenhouse, it's about a garden. So my second thought for you this morning is hugs. Come on, everybody say hugs. Come on, type hugs if you're in the chat, right? Hugs. I love hugs. If I know you. If I don't know you, don't hug me. You see, I think people who live potted live disconnected. Come on, right? Like, I'm going to do my life, and I'm not connected to anybody. And they live self-contained. And how many of you guys have this? You got like your work friends, your school friends, you got your like throwback friends, you got your turn up friends, like you got like certain friends that you do certain things with. How many of you guys have this, right? Like, you know, maybe not all of you, maybe you're saved, you're sanctified, but for the majority of people, you know, we got like our containment of friends. And I want to help you with literally the most profound, like there's like St. Augustine, St. Francis of Assisi, and then what I'm about to say. Y'all gonna remember, this is going to be remembered for centuries. This is a deeply profound thought that I want to help you with, and this is what's going to help you get established in the church. In fact, like, tweet this out. This is so good. Like, I'm going to have retweets after retweets. I mean, this stuff is probably, honestly, out of anything I could have ever said preaching in these past 6 months, this is probably the most profound, powerful thing, and it's deep. It took me ages to craft it. Talk about wordsmithing. This statement is incredible. Ready? Here is the thought I have for you to help you get a step. Now, remember this. Come on, you ready? Online, are you ready? Are you in the chair? You ready for this? Right, here's a really, really powerful point. Ready? Make friends at church. Now, y'all not reacting how I thought you were going to react, because that is deep, y'all. Can I tell you that one of the most helpful things to help you become established in God's house is simply make friends at church. Make friends at church. So in the lobby, I know it's Corona right now, so you might not want to be around people, but don't rush in and rush out. Spend 5 minutes talking to somebody. September 13th, we're going to be launching Connect Groups. Join a Connect Group. Because the deal is, if you keep attending church alone, you're not going to last. You'll take your pot and go somewhere else. But there's power when you begin to connect. There's power when you begin to have people in your life. There's power when you are going, hey, this is my friend, and we do life together. And I'm talking about, like, not just church friends where you're like, hey, brother, how you doing? Blessed? Not stressed? Right? Like, not cliche. I'm talking about, like, you know you're good friends when you cry together, friends. Laugh together, friends. You know, together for the worst and the best times. Come on, if you can vacation together, you're real friends, right? I mean, how many of you guys, when you start evaluating, like, do you want to go with vacation? No, I don't want to go vacation. I can't be me with them. But I can be me with them, right? I can go on a vacation with them. Come on, that's a good, I want people in our church to be able to go on vacations together, right? Like, make friends at church. Even do Christmas together, right? Like, whatever it is, make friends. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. What is Paul writing to the Thessalonians? Hey, be in community. Be in relationship. Now, I think all of us would probably know this to be true. You've heard it in messages where the root systems of trees are connected together, right? You've heard that, right? Like, they have all connected together. They've actually recently discovered something even cooler. Scientists in New Zealand were looking at a deforestation area where there were multiple stumps and then trees on the outer edges. And these stumps had been stumps for a number of years, and because they had cleared the forest, and there was a forest just over the other way. And here's what they discovered, is that the stumps weren't dead. The stumps were still alive. Now, if all this was just root systems connected, then they would just be connected but dead. But they actually discovered, once they pulled back the earth, that when the root systems actually connect, they actually fuse. And then they begin to share nutrients. And they begin to share resources. And they begin to share life. Now, you may have a 2020 cut me down to a stump year. Come on. How many of you guys got those years where this mess cut me down? And if you were living potted, that's all you would remain. A dead stump. Come on. How many of you guys know some dead stumps before, right? Like, I don't want to just be a dead stump. But here's the power of community. Is that not only are we linked, but we actually share what we have. So, like, if you need encouragement, I've got some for you. Let's even get practical. If you need some help, I can help you, right? Because we're in relationship together, right? I know it's profound. I know it's like this crazy thought, but can I help you right here? If you want to be established, if you want to grow in the house of God, make friends at church. Come on, somebody say, make friends at church. Come on. Final thought as we close is our hands. Is our hands. The last thing that will help you become established in God's house is to use what God's put in your hand. You see, something powerful happens when you move from a spectator to a participator. Your roots expand. You see, when we go, I'm moving from the pot to be planted. What you're saying is, I don't just care about my ecosystem, I care about the whole ecosystem. I care about the whole garden. You see, God did not create you to be kingdom decoration. This is going to go on a desk somewhere or a shelf, and that's cute. I think. My wife says it's a good plant. I don't know. But see, the church is more than a greenhouse. It's a garden designed for your flourishing, but also the flourishing of the whole house, the whole garden. You see, a garden is powerful. A garden is where people can come who are hungry, and they can find food. Isn't it funny that the food and the seed are linked together? My little girl, when she eats an apple, she stops at the core. She says, Daddy, what are these? And I'm saying, that's the seeds. And so isn't it funny that your fruit actually is a method of multiplication? So when the psalm says, hey, you will produce fruit even into old age, meaning I'm going to keep multiplying. I'm going to keep growing. There's going to be trees that come out of me. There's going to be plants that come out of me. But can I tell you, when you live potted, you live your life and you're gone. And you dump the old out and a new one comes in. What are you doing with your hands? You see, a garden can protect those who have been burnt. Sun's hot. Come on, August in Austin is like, oh dear heavens, help me. But I wonder what people are experiencing in their life when, man, difficulty hits them and it feels like life is hot and it's burning them up. Can I tell you, they need to find shade in the garden of God's house. And who does that? You and I do that. When people walk in the door, we go, welcome, sit by me. Hey, can we be friends? Actually, don't lead that way. That might be weird if you're like, can we be best friends? Church, let me ask you this. Victory City Church, are we going to be a greenhouse where people can come and look at all the spectacles? Or are we going to be a garden where people can enjoy? Because people are established in God's house. That's why we do City Steps. City Steps isn't a perfect system, but it's a system we're trying to perfect. We're trying to take people who are disconnected and help them be connected. We're trying to find people because our mission is to reach people who have not been reached. And once we reach those people, we want to help them find their place. And City Steps is exactly that. We want to help people move through the process. That's why we're launching Connect Groups. It's because we're going, listen, we want to help you make friends. We want to help you get in relationship. And the whole purpose is this. We want to see you flourish. You see, I think people think that like church is all about like okay, how can the church be better? No, the church is about how can you be better? How can you be better? How can you grow like a palm tree to where when trials hit you, you're not falling over. You're flexible, you're durable, you're strong. How can the church help you grow beyond just like where you're at? How can the church see you put roots down deep and begin to grow? How can the church see your life multiply beyond you? I mean, you heard me last week, right, when I said, hey, I want at some point every year for every person in our church to be able to point to somebody and go, they're here because I brought them. So here's something crazy. Last week, as soon as I got done with the 10:30 service, I went out to greet everybody, and someone who has just recently begun coming to our church had a friend. And they were like, this is my person. And I was like, way to go. We're multiplying. That should be the church. A garden that produces fruit. How many of you guys in school ever were assigned a group project? And in that group project, you had a person who didn't participate as much. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? Maybe, hey, get in a group of four, do a research project. And maybe you were the studious person, so you're going to make schedules, you're going to do the stuff. And then there's always like that one person who's like, doesn't contribute, but gets the A. You know, another term for a project could be a mission. Can I tell you, church, that we have a mission? To help every person take a step closer to Jesus? Let's all jump on board. Let's all be a part. Let's go, I'm going to do everything I can in my power, in my current level, and go, man, I'm going to lean into this. We want to see God reach this community. You see, John 12:24, it says this, and this is Jesus talking, and he's really talking about you and I, and I close with this last thought. He says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies," meaning is planted, "it remains only a single seed. But if it dies," meaning if it surrenders, if it gives its life for a greater purpose, look what it says, "it produces many seeds." Now, Jesus is actually talking about himself and to you, and he's alluding to the fact that, hey, I'm a seed, and I'm going to have to go to the cross, and I'm going to have to die, I'm going to have to be buried in the ground, and here's what's going to happen. When I'm buried, I'm going to be producing a fruit called salvation. And I'm going to be able to prosper and to create multitudes and multitudes of fruit. And a lot of times you see this in biblical language called the harvest. Can I say you're part of the harvest? But just as Jesus said, hey, I've got to die and surrender and be planted, so do you. And maybe some of you, maybe you're watching online, maybe you're in here, you've never made that first step, right? We all have to take steps closer to Jesus. Maybe you've never made that step, first step of surrender. Going, God, I want to surrender my life to you by confessing you, Lord and Savior, in my life. Maybe some of you have never taken the step to begin to give. You've never taken the step, and maybe you're a never giver, a sometimes giver, a tither, or an over and above. Where in the timeline is God asking you to take a step? Put your life in the ground. Maybe you've been somebody who's like, man, I found it difficult to connect with people at church and all that kind of stuff. Church don't like me. Maybe the step for you is, hey, we need to connect. We need to join a group. We need to go through city steps. We need to find people. Maybe for you, it's been all about spectating and not participating, right? Right? Heart, hugs, hands. Maybe now the step for you is going, you know what, we got to do something. I don't want to just spectate. I want to participate. You see, God has a step for all of us. It's not just a step for the new believers. It's a step for us believers. Why? Because we want to continue to put roots down and be established. Do you see the design?